You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
The State of the Unions. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. U.S. markets are closed today in honor of civil rights icon Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Markets reopen tomorrow, Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. Wall Street time. In 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated after speaking with striking sanitation workers in Memphis. In the decades since King's murder, strikes have gotten more rare. But data from Cornell University shows that over the last 2 years, strike activity has been picking up. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
A lot of the big strikes last year were against big employers, Hollywood studios, the big three automakers. But Kathy Creighton at Cornell University says many of them were against smaller employers.
Restaurants, higher education, warehouse workers, a lot of teachers and public sector workers.
And those workers watched last year as the big strikes won big concessions from studios and automakers. Jake Rosenfeld, a professor at Washington University in St. Louis, says those wins create momentum.
We know from past research that successful strikes prove contagious. They tend to lead to other strikes.
Workers know that going on strike comes with the risk of job loss. But Rosenfeld says they also know they have options, considering how tight the labor market is right now.
It grants them the freedom to take risks at work, such as participating in a strike or threatening to unionize, without the fear that such activity could lead to a prolonged period of joblessness.
And as long as the unemployment rate stays low, Rosenfeld says strike activity will likely keep up. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Workers have had it okay in recent years. Some 2.7 million jobs were created last year, and the unemployment rate never rose above 4%, which is all the more impressive when you take into account that in the four decades before 2020, worker gains, in particular on wages, were limited, if not anemic. Many factors have been at work there, but some economists suspect one issue has been employment restrictions, as in non-compete agreements. They make it harder to take a new job and thereby get a raise. These agreements are illegal for a lot of jobs in some states, but still legal in many other states. Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell read through the literature on this and joined Marketplace Morning Report host David Brancaccio to share more. Here's David.
I once had a non-compete clause in a minimum wage job. These are about you can't leave and work for a competitor for a period of time, right?
Right. And these restrictive non-competes, you know, it varies a lot by state. And there really isn't a comprehensive data set on non-competes, but the estimates range between 18% and 40% of the American workforce is impacted by these agreements. And they typically involve, you know, high-skill, high-wage professionals like financiers, software engineers. but they have become surprisingly widespread in lower wage industries. That's the experience that you had. Hairstylists, office cleaners. This is according to a report by the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis.
We've reported on the Federal Trade Commission in Washington is actively working to try to regulate many or most of these non-competes out of existence.
Yes. And so California, North Dakota, Oklahoma, you know, they essentially have bans on non-competes. Colorado and Minnesota have now joined the movement. And other states haven't gone quite that far, David. But, you know, it seems like most are creating new restrictions.
What do we know about the impact that non-compete limits have on workers?
Okay, so there's a recent study, three economists, the labor market effects of legal restrictions on worker mobility, and they find that increases in non-compete enforceability, that decreased workers' earnings and mobility from 1991 to 2014.
And did they detect a big hit?
It is significant. I mean, they calculate that if a state moves from the 25th percentile to the 75th percentile in terms of enforcing non-competes, workers see a 1.7% average decline in annual earnings. And they say making non-competes unenforceable nationwide could boost average earnings among all workers by 3.2% to 14.2%.
Now, employers, businesses, worry about trade secrets and the training that they invested in their workers, and many have been lobbying hard or suing to keep the non-compete arrangements.
Yeah, it does still appear that the tide is turning. And see what you think of this idea, David. Besides helping workers, an additional factor that is providing momentum to the anti-non-compete initiatives is the suspicion that it could be a real boon to innovation. There's a series of fascinating studies that were done years ago looking into high-tech innovation. And these studies have argued that California's long-term ban on non-competes, that helped Silicon Valley become the epicenter of high-tech entrepreneurship. In comparison, take the competitor, Boston's high-tech corridor, Route 128. Well, it fell short early on, perhaps because Massachusetts allowed businesses to limit employee mobility.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Over the last year, the Biden administration has announced steps geared at making credit more available to minority business owners. The timing, though, has been tricky. Rising interest rates have been making credit more expensive for all borrowers, and last year's banking debacle caused a lot of lenders to pull back on loan making altogether. Today on our afternoon sister program, Marketplace, they'll talk with bankers, experts, and a small business about whether the Biden administration's efforts to help minority business owners get loans are running into trouble thanks to the current lending environment. Listen to Marketplace on your local public radio station or at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.